Today, go ahead and if you've got your listening guides, pull those out. We're going to talk about a forever family today. We're going to talk about getting adopted by a father that's just passionate and wants to have a relationship with you. When I heard that story, I was like, man, that's a great picture of how God pursues us, how he sees us where we're at with our needs, and he chooses to come and adopt us into his family. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. If you can, go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at what it means to be this family and what it means to be adopted into the family and what it means to hopefully choose to maybe even help by adopting and fostering others along the way. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. And let me give you a little true story here about family. Family's not always easy, right? Now, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we talk about what a great opportunity it is. But the truth is, for some people, it's very painful because they don't have that family that they come together with, and they don't have that opportunity. And I would say to you, that's why God created the spiritual family, that we can have family to come together with that may not be our own blood. That story you just saw, that man was not related to those two boys, and yet he chose to become family to them. And that's what he desires for us as a church, is we may not be blood kin to those in this room, but we can be spiritual kin. We can be family for those that have no family. We can choose to love when other people may not have that loving relationship in their life. So whether you're single with kids, single without kids, married without kids, whether you're 18 or 35, you can have a family every day of your life as you seek out the Lord as your dad. And so for me in my life, family's not always easy because I haven't always had the easiest road. And for some of you today, as we talk about God as your father, it may be a little bit difficult for you because perhaps that's not been a great relationship in your life. And I would say to you today that God is the perfect father. He really does love you unconditionally. And he really will love you all the days of your life and stand by you. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it's not easy in my family even today. You know, everybody doesn't always behave the way I want them to. And I don't always behave the way they want me to. And sometimes my little 11-year-old, Leah, she's my truth teller. You know, you got a truth teller in your family, the one that just says what everybody's thinking, but nobody wants to make it obvious, right? And the other day, if you notice, I was doing the No Shave November. I was growing my beard out. And for the first time, my beard was actually full gray. And she looked at me and she said, Dad, she said, are you going to keep your beard this year? I said, well, I was planning on it. I said, why? She said, well, you know, it's all gray. And I said, well, yeah, I know. Your mom says it makes me look wise. She says, oh. I said, well, what's wrong? She says, well, I just never thought I'd have an old preacher. I was like, okay. I guess being an old dad was okay, but an old preacher, that was over the line. So as you can tell, I shaved so that I would not be her old preacher. And we had a good laugh about that. And I would just say to you, family is that group of people that whether they show love to you or not, you stand by their side. Whether they're there for you, you're still going to choose to be there for them. And it's not, man, it's just not always easy because everybody's not always loving. Sometimes I have been a pretty big jerk to people in my family. I get my feelings hurt and I get vengeful and revengeful, you know what I'm saying? It's like I want to get back at them instead of forgive them. And sometimes I'm really kind and loving and forgiving and sometimes I'm not. And the same way, I bet you're not perfect. I bet there's times in your family life that you have been the difficult one to live with, and there's times that you've been the easy one to live with. My son, Luke's 13 now, and I always ask my kids permission before I share their stories. But when he was about 3, I went into his bedroom, and I'd do this every night. I'd go hug and kiss my kids, and I'd pray over them, and I'd say, I want you to know I love you, Luke. And that night, I said, I love you, Luke. And he said to me, he says, well, I don't love you, Dad. I was like, well, that's kind of mean, you know? I was like, oh, he's just a kid. He's just joking. So I left. So the next night I came in and hugged and kissed him and said, love you, Luke. He said, well, I don't love you, Dad. I was like, well, that kind of begins to hurt, you know. I went and told my wife, did I do something to Luke? Is there something wrong? She's like, I don't think so. He's just being a kid. A couple of days, he'll forget over it. 6 months. It went on for like 6 months. Every night, I'd come and tuck him in bed and give him a kiss. And I'd say, I love you, Luke. And he'd say, well, I don't love you, Dad. And it was like a heartbreaker. But I didn't go, well, you know what, that's it. I gave you 3 weeks. You say you don't love me? Fine. Pack your bags, buddy. You're three. Get a job and move out. You know? And then one night, it was just, I mean, there was no rhyme or reason. I've asked him. He's like, I don't know. And just one night, I said, I love you, Luke. He said, I love you too, Dad. I was like, yay! You know, I was like, my kid loves me. And I say that to say there are times that if you are a family, it's not going to be easy to love each other. But that's what family does. We stick together even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like we love the person, we demonstrate love. That's what love is, okay? And that's the kind of love that God shows us and he demonstrates towards us. So if you have your Bibles, we're turning to Ephesians 1. If you don't, you can pick up one of these burgundy Bibles out of the chair in front of you. It's on page 977. It's in the New Testament. This letter is to people who lived in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a port city. So if you've heard that expression, cuss like a sailor, there's a reason for that. These folks, they stay 6 months, 12 months on a boat. They get off in a port, and they're just ready for bear. They're ready to do whatever they can do, get their most life lived, because they got to get right back on a boat, right? So port cities are pretty much known for having every kind of evil vice under the sun waiting for these sailors to come in and make money off of them, because they got money in their pockets, because they got a job. And so Ephesus is no different. I got a chance to go over there. It's in Turkey, and I got a chance to see. They've got the ruins that are there, and amazing place, but I mean, they still have the stone monuments that have directions to the local brothel. They still have the remnants of the temples where they would worship idols and worship them as a group. And they still have all the stories that they tell you of those days. Well, Paul's writing the folks in Ephesus that are believers in Christ. These are people that have come to faith in Jesus, and they're walking with Jesus, and he realizes how hard it is, and persecution, if you read in Acts, actually broke out in Ephesus as well. And so he's trying to encourage them in this time. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, we'll pick up. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. If you got your Bibles, underline that part. Even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask God to speak to us this morning. God, I'm glad you loved me before I was born. That gives me a chance. And I'm glad, God, that you chose me before I was born, because that gives me purpose. And I pray, God, that each one of us in here would realize that we are chosen and loved by you, and therefore we have a chance to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those around us. God, thanks for loving us. Thanks for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, if you got your little listening guide, you can pull that out and open that up. The very first thing I want you to see is that you are loved and chosen. Loved and chosen. Paul starts by writing to those who are the faithful followers. So he's starting out by writing to those who are followers of Jesus Christ, Christians. And he starts by letting them know that they are chosen and loved by God. Now, I would say to you that God loves everyone, and that he's created everyone for a relationship with him. That's his desire in his heart. But for you and I to be his family, we have to choose to be adopted. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But he's already chosen you and loved you before you were even born. Now, you might say, but Steve, you don't know what I've done since I've been born. I don't, and that's a good thing, right? And you don't know all that I've done since I was born. The good thing is that Paul is writing to them knowing that they too had lives before Christ and letting them know that before they were even born, God chose them and loved them. And so the hope that is there. Now, verse 2, he says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, all throughout the Bible, God is offering us grace and peace. Now, how many of you needed a little bit more grace and a little more peace around the dinner table at Thanksgiving? Anybody? We go and we stay with my in-laws for 3 nights. We cram our whole family into this 2-bedroom house along with my in-laws, and we're there for 3 days. And towards the end of those 3 days, it gets to where it's like, okay, we love family. Yes, we do. We're ready to leave. How about you? You know, it's like you get this mantra going. And we love each other, but whew, that's some close proximity, right? And we need grace and peace. And I would say to you that truly in Christ Jesus, he gives me grace and peace and other people grace and peace for me. It's called mercy. It's called compassion. It's called forgiveness. And we need that in our church because all of us sooner or later are going to mess it up. Sooner or later, one of us is gonna forget someone's birthday. One of us is gonna back into somebody else's car. One of us is gonna forget that somebody was having surgery, and one of us is gonna forget that this is the anniversary of the loss of their child, and there's gonna be hurt that's there. And we all need grace and peace. And then we've got to choose love. Okay? And then the fourth is, third verse there, he says he gives gifts, and God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I would say to you that when you come to know Jesus, he puts inside of you every spiritual blessing you need to be healthy and full of love in Christ. He gives you everything that you need. It's not that we won't keep growing, because we will, but when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he gives you the blessings that you need to grow. He gives you the grace, the peace, the hope, the blessings. He gives you spiritual gifts. He equips you to love and serve your family. And he teaches you about forgiveness. Now, what we do with that, that's our responsibility. How we live that out. And then verse 4 says that we are loved and chosen before the creation of the world. And I think that's probably what gives me the greatest hope. Is it's not you're loved and chosen because you go to church. You're loved and chosen because you never committed this sin or that sin. Or you're loved and chosen because you give money to the poor. No, God has chosen you and he loves you. Period. Just put a period right there. It's a good place for a period. Well, the second thing, because he loved you and he chose you, you're also adopted into his family. You're like given the last name that's his last name. Verse 5 says this, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. So we're adopted through Jesus. And since Jesus is our adoption agency, okay? Out in the foyer out here after services, you'll see Camelot, you'll see DCS, you'll see Tennessee Children's Homes. We got different people out there offering opportunities for us to have impact in the lives of children and teens in our community, offering us an opportunity to foster and to adopt. My wife and I have been foster families for years, and every now and then we get some respite kids, but we've actually got too many kids in our own house. They won't let us take more. Keep telling us we got capacity, you know. It's like, why can you say you can only have 5 kids? I think there's room for more, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but you can only have 5. So a couple of families, you know, sorry, you can't foster and adopt. But for everybody else, these kids are looking for homes. And we have a chance to show the same love to them that God has shown love to us, who has chosen to adopt us into his family. He's loved us and he chose us. Now, I've got 2 nephews that are adopted, and they're adopted from Vietnam. And I love what his parents have done. I mean, these kids, man, they are so awesome. We just spent a couple days with them, and they're doing so well in life, and they love the Lord. They're both adopted from Vietnam. And so it's always fun when we have our family pictures, and as we talk about what God's done. They have a gotcha day. They have a day, and they call it their gotcha day. Since they weren't there at their birth, they call it their gotcha day, and they celebrate their gotcha day every year, just like a birthday, and they celebrate the year that they believe God placed them in their family. Pretty cool. I would say to you, what is your gotcha day? Have you been adopted into God's family? Have you had a day where you said to the Lord, Lord, I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, where you had God, his offer for adoption, and you said, yes, Lord, I take you up on that. Now, for me, I'm grateful. I was 17, and the Lord had a gotcha day for me that he loved me enough, and I was in a service much like this, and I prayed, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and that's my gotcha day. I don't actually remember the exact date, but I remember the moment. And after the first service this morning, I had a 17-year-old come up to me, and he said, man, I need something. And we started talking. And the 17-year-old today prayed and gave his life to the Lord this morning. It was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah, that's so awesome. And today that young man was adopted into a new family. He now has two fathers. He has his heavenly father and his earthly father. He's been adopted. And I would just ask you, have you been adopted? And then I would say, let's flip over to Galatians 4, just one book closer. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. In this passage, we understand how Jesus, what he had to do to become the adoption agency. Okay, what he had to do to provide the opportunity for you and I to be adopted. Here's what he says in Galatians 4, 4 to 6. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves in the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, which means daddy, daddy and father. So God sent him to buy our freedom. You and I have been separated from God because of sin. And God sent Christ. He had to live on the earth, live as we live. He had to be tempted with sin just like you and I. He had to struggle with the same struggles we struggle with. He had to deal with the lack of love and compassion by some folks. He had to deal with the pressures and the problems of this world. And yet he walked this earth in a perfect life, therefore allowing him to be the perfect sacrifice for you and me, that we might be adopted by God. A true gift that he's offered us in this gift of adoption. And I would just say to you today, as you leave, I would just challenge everybody. Everybody's not called to foster and adopt. Okay? Everybody's not. But I would challenge you to pray and say, Lord, should I consider being a part of that? Should I consider picking up some information, praying over it, and consider adopting someone into our family and making them a part of our forever family? I'm so grateful there are many folks in this room today that have been adopted and that continue the journey. I find many people that adopt, they themselves were once adopted. And it's partly because when you see that kind of compassion and love, you want to pass it on. And I would say to you that you and I, everybody in this room that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have been adopted. We didn't deserve it, but before the world was even made, God had a plan for your life and a plan for adoption. Well, the third thing I want you to see is in verse 7 that you are redeemed. You are redeemed. In verse 7 it says this, he, being God, God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. You ever said, man, I wish I knew God's will for my life. I wish I knew God's will. Here it is. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. God's plan is to bring all the world together that all men and women might know the love of Jesus. That's his plan. And he wants you and I to be a part of it. That's why when we had these folks stand up here to join the church, we asked them to commit to loving God, loving people, and impacting the world. To be a part of this bigger team that together we work forward to help people connect with God. And wherever you live, work, and play, wherever you are an example. You're a light. You're a whisper of hope, a breath of fresh air. You could be that message, that good news that they're not getting anywhere else. And that's why it's important for you and I that we choose to speak that life into other people. We choose to encourage, to strengthen. And then a great example, I heard a story of being redeemed to help us understand what God's done for us, was a story of a young boy. He loved to ride bicycles and tear bicycles apart. He's one of those kids that at an early age, you know, just loved to work with tools and stuff. And so this young boy and his dad decided to start putting a bike together for him. So the boy worked all through summer, saved all his money as a young boy, saved all his money, and then bought all the stuff off the internet, ordered it. He was going to build the best bike ever. And that's what he did. He built the bike with his dad. They worked hard. They got the gears just right. He was so proud of that bike. Rode it everywhere. And his dad told him, now be careful, okay, because somebody wants to steal that bike. Always make sure you take care of it. Always make sure that you bring it home. You put it in a safe place. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was going to visit his grandparents and ask if he could take his bike. He said, sure, you could take your bike. It's your bike. Just be careful. Remember to always take care of it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Takes his bike to his grandparents, and they go to the park with some friends, and while they're there, it's like, hey, can I spend the night with my buddy? Sure. Forgets all about his bike. Leaves his bike overnight. Remembers the next morning, goes back, and guess what? It's not there. It's gone. Looks around everywhere. Of course, nobody knows where it's at. It's gone. He comes home sad, brokenhearted. His dad's like, well, you know, you got two choices. You can give up, or you can start over. So he said, well, I'm going to start saving money. So he starts saving his money again, saving money, saving money, saving money. Goes to visit his grandparents again. And while he's there, his grandparents take him shopping. They go to the thrift store. And guess what's in the thrift store? His bike. But the man says to him, says, hey, I bought that at a yard sale. And, you know, so I purchased it so I could resell it. He said, if it's really yours, I'll sell it to you at what I paid for it. But I still need some money. And the boy said, well, I've been working. I've saved up some money. So he bought his bike back at the thrift store. And when he went back, his dad, he was excited. He told his dad, and he said, Dad, now this bike is twice mine. I built it, and I lost it, but I bought it back. You know, I think that's how God sees us. When we give our life to him, we're twice his. You see, he created you, and from the beginning of time, he had a plan to love you. From the beginning of time, he could see you as his child growing up, becoming a woman or a man of God. And he could see the joy and the opportunities and the pleasures and the happiness that you could have. And then myself, just like all of us, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's a point where we diverged from the plan that God had for us. And although he had created us, we walked away. And then the Lord had to buy us back. And he bought us back. He redeemed us through his son, Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us that we might have salvation, that we might have a relationship with God. And so when we give our lives to Christ, we are then twice his. He created us and he bought us back. So we are twice his at that point. Well, the last thing I want you to see is that you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Now, who knows who the richest person in the world is now? Anybody? Tell me a name. Bill Gates? Bill just dropped to number two. Anybody else got a guess? Bezos. Somebody hit it. Yep, Jeff Bezos. Started Amazon in 1994. And just in that short amount of time, Jeff Bezos is now worth $112 billion with a B. His personal wealth is greater than many countries. Okay, pretty crazy, isn't it? Well, just imagine if you were Jeff's one and only child. Think you got an inheritance to look forward to, possibly? Well, how about Bill Gates? We mentioned Bill. You know, Bill's kind of slumming it these days. He's down to 90 million. You know, so he's number two on the list. Poor guy. And then Warren Buffett's always chasing Bill, depending on how his investments go. Warren's at 86 billion. But for those who want to judge rich people and say that, you know, it's all about greed, Warren's made a commitment to give 99% of his wealth away to charity. And he's on his road to doing that. Now, we'll say 1% of 86 billion would be okay for me to live on. I'd be okay with that. But still, that's generous, right? And then you kind of got to feel sad for the king and queen of England because, you know, compared to these guys, they're only worth 500 million. You know, so the inheritance they're going to pass their kids may not be quite as much. Now, that might get you excited until you remember that none of you are the kids of Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Jeff Bezos. But what I will say to you is this: we are child of the Most High King, the creator of the universe, the one that began the world, spoke the world into being, and he doesn't just own the cattle of a thousand hills, he owns the hills that they stand on. And so he promises us inheritance. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, Paul writes, he says, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan." So because you've given your life to Christ, you're united with him, you now have an inheritance from him, a promise of all eternity, an inheritance that's based on his wealth and his promises and not our own. Now, Psalms gives us a little bit of a picture of what that looks like. Psalms 50, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Psalms 50 says this. It says, "For all the animal of the forest are mine," God says, "and I own the cattle of a thousand hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it." So God, who's promising us this inheritance, is the one who has the true inheritance to give. Because it's not a temporary inheritance of what we have here on earth. It's a permanent inheritance for all eternity. Now, you may accrue a lot of wealth while you're here. But guess what? When you die, it all goes to somebody else. But what we do for the Lord lasts for eternity. I heard a speaker speak one time. He talked about his grandmother. And he said every year he'd go spend some time with his grandmother in the summer, and they would always play Monopoly. He said it was our favorite thing to do. He said, "When I was a little kid, Grandma would always beat me in Monopoly." He said, "You know, she wasn't the kind to just let you win because she wanted you to, you know, be happy. She would beat you like a drum until you figured out how to play." And that's the way I raised my kids. I'm like, I am going to beat you like a drum until you figure the game out. Then I'm not going to play anymore because I don't want to lose. So he says Grandma and he played together, and he said he was about early teens. He said, "I finally beat Grandma in Monopoly," and he said, "I lost it." He said, "I got all excited. I was like, yeah, I'm the greatest. I beat you, Grandma." He said he was going, just having a big time, just kind of letting her know that he was the new king of Monopoly. And he said, in her wise, gentle spirit, he said, she just looked at him and says, "Well, you do know, John, at the end of the game, all the pieces just go back in the box." It's like, well, but I won. She's like, pieces go in the box. Tomorrow's a new day. And that's so true of our lives, isn't it? At the end of our 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, at the end of the day, all the pieces go back in the box. All the properties, all the little cars, all the cash, all the hotels or motels that you get. They all go back in the box. And all that matters is, have you been adopted? That's really all that matters. Have you been adopted? Do you know the Heavenly Father? Do you have a relationship with Him? Because if you do, when you stand before Him, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we get to spend all eternity with our Heavenly Father and our inheritance. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your head with me. I really have two invitations today. The first is for everyone. I want to ask you, have you considered fostering or adoption? I was told that the Upper Cumberland is usually number one or number two on the greatest needed area in our state for foster parents. I believe in this room there are a lot more people that have capacity that could love children well. And so my first invitation is, would you be willing today, after this is over, to go out and talk to one of these folks at the tables and to consider adoption or foster caring, either a teenager, a child, a youth? Would you be willing to consider? If so, please do. The second is that I want to ask you, have you ever been adopted by God? Has there been a day in your life that you have a gotcha day? A day where you said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be adopted by you. I want to give my life completely to you. If you have never done that, then today I want to invite you to give it all over to God. The first step is to pray a sincere prayer from your heart to God, letting Him know that you love Him and you want Him. So if God's speaking to your heart now, then you can pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following along with me now. Dear God, I want to be your child. I want to be adopted today. Lord, please forgive me for my poor decisions in the past. Today I give my whole life over to you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I surrender to you and confess you as my Father. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.